Waller didn't record much until 1929, because in 1929 he'd had this huge hit, Hot Chocolates, which had hit songs in it. So immediately Victor Talking Machine Company wanted to record.
Just to clarify, when you say hit, it was a musical production that was very popular.
Yeah, it was a Broadway musical.
I've talked a lot in this series about Waller, how he had a love for classical music, was very knowledgeable about it, had some classical training very early in his life.
I think that the training was, I think, in the 20s. I don't think he had, he may have had some before Numb Fumbling, because when you hear him do... that sort of thing, I think that may have come from fingering. But... both James P., well, all three of them, James P., Fats, and Willie, loved classical music. The special thing that Waller brought to Stride was his touch, which was very unique. He was the only Stride pianist I remember, classical people who didn't like jazz. When I was a kid, there were a lot of... jazz was frowned upon by more traditional classical musicians, a lot of them. But they loved Fats Waller. Because he had a very refined touch. In fact, I'll play you a little bit of his E-flat blues, and this is inspired by his 1935 recording for Associated Program Service. Thank you. So you using the whole piano in different colors again. That thing, I guess you could call that a tremolo. By that time, he was using that sort of as a joke, looking back on the old honky-tonk type piano, just making fun. Waller is known for his incredible sense of humor. And his sense of humor was not just verbal, it was in the music, too. There would be all sorts of musical non sequiturs which would fit and would just be funny. Now, here's one he did, which I also love. It's on one of my CDs. It's called Sweet Savannah Sue, and that's from Hot Chocolates as well. Now, that sounds a little bit closer to the Birmingham Blues we were listening to before, even though that's 7 years later. And it's also more of his theatrical sound. And again, he's playing the melody. He's trying to sell the song. Whereas Smashing Thirds or Numb Fumbling, he just made those up, and those are display pieces. And nobody expected to sell a lot of sheet music with those. But he also had another side to him. This was more of the impressionistic Little Lion, where I'll play a little bit of a thing that became African Ripples in the 30s, and it's called Gladys. Later, he does African Ripples, and then he does something very different, and this is, again, more impressionistic, and this shows further evolution. I don't think he would have done what you're about to hear in 1929. I added one of my tricks is to go up half a tone and play. He didn't do it that way. I'm sure he could have.
But it's very sophisticated.
Well, you're in a sophisticated environment here. Yes. Sophisticated, there's humor, you know, to end like this. He's just being funny. He's making fun of classical devices. My favorites are the E-flat blues from the Associated Programming Service and some others on the Associated Programming Service. he does a thing on T4-2, which is very abstract and very beautiful.
Yeah, I recently listened to that. That was exceptional. That T4-2, by the way, I had recently heard, and it stood out as something I wanted to include. And why don't you explain, for people that aren't familiar, what this process of transcriptions was?
Well, these transcriptions were made for background music. Associated Programming Service was the precursor to Muzak, which people remember as dentist's office music, elevator music. His manager had gotten him a contract in between shows at the Paramount Theater in New York to record a series of these. And he'd just go in the afternoon, and they were 15 minutes each. They were on, I think they were 33 and a third.
Intended for radio broadcast?
No, they weren't. They were licensed, and the musicians were paid a special scale, and so were the song owners, the publishers.
Especially low?
Of course, because they were only used for background music. They would sell the service, but they wouldn't sell discs. Mm-hmm. You couldn't buy those discs. There would be a subscription service for a department store or a hotel or that sort of thing.
Well, T4-2, I mean, is associated in most people, jazz people's minds in the era, with what Tatum did with it. But
yeah, that was one of his showpieces.
But yeah. Waller's is quite extraordinary.
Yeah, Waller had his own version of it, and so did Willie the Lion, too. In fact, one of Waller's descending arpeggios is from Willie. It's
in some of those transcriptions, he gets very loose and at times rather even introverted.
What do you mean by introverted?
Well, there's almost classical introduction to St. Louis blues.
Oh, this thing that he does. Oh, yeah, well, he was really drunk when he was doing that recording. Gene Cedric, his longtime reed player, told me, unfortunately, he wasn't sober for 18 years. Get up in the morning and have some booze. Eventually, unfortunately, the booze caught up with him. It was a disastrous Carnegie Hall concert where he lapsed into playing Summertime for about 15 or 20 minutes. He was, though, multifaceted, you know. Here's a man that was a great jazz pianist who influenced so many people, a great songwriter, a very good jazz singer, a humorist. And I think also significant, one of the first big crossover orders in those days.
It was rare for black
records. Black records were sold to black people. They're called race records. They made Chinese records for Chinese people, but white people loved Fats's recordings. And the very sad thing was he had a hit show early to bed in New York. And I don't know whether it's 1943, but he couldn't stay at the same hotel with the cast. And he said to somebody, he said, these white people are buying my music. I don't know why they won't let me stay in the same hotel. Sometimes he'd get really PO'd about that.
Very nice, Michael. Mike Lipscomb, thanks for sharing with us your understanding and appreciation for Fats Waller and his music.
Well, thank you for carrying the flame onto radio. It's not often that we have an opportunity to have this sort of music played anymore.
Well, you're quite welcome, and you are one of the guys who, in your work with record companies and reissues over the years, has helped make this sort of thing possible.
Well, thank you.
We've also been hearing from CDs if people want to get another little taste of your music.
Yeah, I have 5 CDs available on Buskirk Records. Anybody can email me at lipskin@earthlink.net, lipskin@earthlink.net, and I'll give you all the information on ordering CDs if you like. A lot of them have the great cornet and trumpet player Leon Oakley.
Information about those CDs will be on the Jazz Rhythm website.
Oh, that's great. I really appreciate it.
And when people visit San Francisco, they can drop in and hear you where?
At Moose's Restaurant on Stockton Street in North Beach every Thursday night from 7:30 to 10:30. And each week I use the same notes of the piano, but sometimes in different order.
So as we've heard in the 1920s, Fats Waller synthesized the best elements of East Coast and Harlem piano into a distinct style, a clean, sophisticated, personal voice that projected a strong, rocking, rhythmic bass line placed against clearly stated melody and variations. His sound caught the ear and was easily understood by popular audiences, and yet offered considerable variation, development, and refinement. So far in this series about Waller and his music, we've learned about his love for symphonic music, the organ, and the classics. his prolific composing for shows, piano, and band sessions, and in this hour, his major contributions to Stride Piano. Once again, of course, my deep thanks to Mike Lipskin for allowing me to interview and record him at his home studio in Northern California. Thanks to Mark Borowski for research and Lou Judson of Intuitive Audio for technical assistance. Jazz Rhythm is produced by Rhythm Productions, providing professional sound preservation and restoration services. The Jazz Rhythm website, where you can learn more about Fats Waller, jazz, hear sound clips, find links to jazz sites, request playlists, or send me comments, is jazzhot.bigstep.com. Finally, yet another of Waller's brilliant, original piano showcases is 1934, Viper's Drag. That's Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer. Thanks for listening.